corner. You may be seated. We're going to read from Ephesians, the first chapter again, 15 to 23, perhaps really not all those verses so much as verse 17. Wherefore also I, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, actually, in the Greek, the word knowledge of him is a literal translation into the English, that this knowledge which will be brought by this Spirit whom we've identified as the Logos, Christ in spirit form, comes to give this revelation that is evidently required in the last days concerning God himself. But Brother Branham went beyond that when he gave us something in Daniel 70th week, which I believe refers very definitely to this same scripture. He said the spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, bringing the church in and revealing what day we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great, deep, secret things. Now, if we go back to Daniel 8:16 just for a second, we'll be able to get a better picture of what this is in the church. And it says, I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Now, this one was sent in order to bring understanding, and the book of Daniel is a book of the end time. So therefore, this spirit of wisdom comes into the church in order to cause us to know the hour in which we're living, to bring us into the revelation and the kingdom of God. And it comes in the last days that this revelation will give us the deep secret things of God also. Now, when you speak of the spirit of wisdom and revelation in respect to an end time period paralleling Daniel, then there's only one place I know we can go to bring forth a definition which we looked at some time ago but did not pursue it as we're going to pursue it tonight, because we're going to deal basically with the Spirit discoursing in this special end time portion of history. Now, in chapter 11 of Romans, 28 to 32, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as you in time past have not obeyed God, the word is obeyed, not believed, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so have these also now not obeyed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy in all. Now notice what he says concerning this particular plan or provision that God has made. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Now, to really know what is being said here, As a conclusion, if I can hear it, I'll change it. We're going to have to read the two chapters in the book of Romans 10 and 11. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear their record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, try to get every word in there that you possibly can and relate it to the present hour. For there never was a zeal in this world as this hour without knowledge. Brother Branham said to W.V. Grant in 1958 in Dallas that his zeal had outrun his knowledge. Now, that's true today. There's lots of zeal and there's no knowledge. America had in its hands, after the Second World War, just about all the gold in the world. Call that zeal. She had the brains of an idiot. Had she raised the price of gold to $2,000 an ounce because she owed it, owned it, we'd own the world. There'd be no depression. There'd be no nothing. But she ran everywhere giving away everything she had as though it would last forever. Zeal without knowledge is dangerous. There's dynamite in your kitchen stove. We're hardly stupid enough to put dynamite to lift the lid of the coal stove. But you think we qualify for that quite easily. The way we have a zeal and no knowledge. Lost the zeal but no knowledge of God. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. I wrapped your wrist the last time I preached for being legal. Well, I'm not going to apologize. I'm a little sorry I wrapped it that hard maybe, but I'm not going to take it back. That's what's wrong with this entire brand of message. It's legal. Isn't it? I'll quit before I get finished. I ain't going to get anywhere near this message. He said you'd sit here 4 hours and nobody brought a bologna sandwich. They're ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. How? Faith. How does any man get perfect enough tonight to go to the tree of life and live forever? You tell me. See, that's where I wrapped the other day. It's pretty hard to catch a lot of things I say, you get upset. Well, don't think you get upset. Remember, I get upset like you couldn't possibly get upset. Ah, you don't believe me? Someday you'll find out. Someday you'll find out, I'm not kidding. Okay? For Christ! Christ! And He's here! Is the end of the law for righteousness. You don't need a law when you got Him. To everyone that believeth, a simple statement. I'm not getting anywhere not believing. Took away 50 years of hell. Oh, I get trouble with the devil when he comes by me the other day, but get up here, I got no trouble with the devil at all, and I care less. I can tie a knot in his tail and strangle him with it. Pull it back and forth between his ears and watch his eyes light up. Because I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able. I'll say that I believe, Dale. Don't you get one thought in your mind, I'm saying it of myself. Because it is not of myself. As far as I'm concerned, I'm already 50 miles past hell in the lake of fire. Ain't even fit to be burned up. But he thought different. Zeal. Roman Catholic spirit of hell. Where people are saying millions now living will never die. Ha! That's a Catholic dogma of papal authority, impressing the people. We're going to make this place such a great place that Christ will come back and take over. It'll be an antichrist. But Christ will come back and he'll destroy the takeover and those who brought the takeover. Zeal, no knowledge, try to establish your righteousness. Five things. It's not fruit. Not fruit. How come New York says the virtues are thunders? Isn't faith a virtue? Isn't temperance a virtue? Well, you can hardly call knowledge a virtue, but it's in there too. But they made love a virtue. But the prophet said it was God. Do you believe that love is here tonight? Well, he is. See, you're worried because you say, Brother Dale, I'm looking for character. Are you still blind in Laodicea? It isn't character. He had all the character necessary. It was his character that got us through. He was worthy to die for us. And God proved it by raising him. It isn't fruit. It isn't power. It isn't obedience. You know why? Because we were born in sin. I don't care if every one of us tonight had been obedient to God from the day we were born, we're still lost. It's not obedience. It's not nearness to God. Because the baptism with the Holy Ghost made you indissolubly one with God. None of those things at all. What is it? It is Christ. And in him is everything, and in him is the end of everything that is going to go down the drain. And it's going to go down the drain. He's the end of it all. It's already set in. I want you to believe this tonight. Not because I want you to believe Lee Vale. Forget Lee Vale. I warned you before I knew even what I would preach. In this last year. And I talked to people. And I said, if you ever expect to see Christ in Lee Vale, you'll go to hell. And I'll help you get there. Because you deserve to. You're going to look for Christ in me. Forget it. He's in the Word. He's in the Word revealed, not in a man. How much fruit can I hold up to his fruit? How much character can I hold up to his character? If he wanted to, he said, I'll bring 12,000 legions of angels. He said, there's nothing I can't do. Can I hold up to him? Can I duplicate his work? Where can I find myself placed alongside of him? Lost. Into such a superficiality of humanity that it becomes a blot upon him. But he stands here tonight. See, that's the difference. That's the difference. And he is going to do it or it is not going to be done. Can you say that in your heart tonight, God? If you don't do it to me, it's not going to be done. Lord, if you don't get me to that tree, I am not going to get there. Can you give up on yourself tonight? See? This message has brought great knowledge. But it's been turned down. You know why? Because people tried to interpret it in the light of their own understanding by their background. That's why I get critical times. There's no way you can equate this message to anything that you know. That is true. Because it all had mistakes. It all had problems. Now, Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Now, what if he should die in the meantime? How's he going to get out of the ground? For the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into the heavens? That is to bring Christ down above. Or who descend to the deep? That is to bring up Christ the dead. Now, it says, they didn't know that he was going to come down as he came down. Now the question comes, who's going to bring him down? And now that he's brought down and died, who's going to raise him? See, you get question after question. You get a lot of theology. But listen, what says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. That's not a thing to do with character, or with fruit, or with power, or with obedience, or with closeness, or anything. It's God did it. And you stand up and admit it. Say, it's done to me. See? Okay. For the scripture said, whosoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. For there's been between the Jew and the Greek. The Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. How then shall they call in him whom they not believe? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Now that always stands in good. What have you heard of false Christ? Paul said they're going to preach another Jesus. All people say, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe the Bible. You got suckered right there. You're finished. Eve, you're shot. Now come on, the Trinitarians, absolutely they can't see this. They're going to tell you that, oh, no way. We're preaching him on whom you believe. I say, who is he? Paul said they're going to preach another one. Oh, our church did. Then Paul was alive. But old Paul, illegitimate. Rotten, hellbound, illegitimate. Why do they quote him? I say, who's rotten, hellbound, illegitimate tonight? Some Trinitarian stuff? A second person of the Godhead? They can't even read. One mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Doesn't call him God, calls him man. God didn't raise God, God raised the body. Can't tell them anything, though. Now, we're getting home tonight, the same thing. Where do we stand tonight? How are you going to hear except somebody preach? How are you going to know about it if somebody tell you about it? And it was said they'd be talking about the wrong one. Jesus said, I came in my Father's name. You turn me aside. There's one going to come in his own name. You'll take him. They're starting with Luther. And Wesley. But William Branham did not come in William Branham's name. He came in the name of the Lord and proved it. And brought us back to God, but who believed it? I could just scream right now and lift up the rafters. I'm standing on reality. I'm believing in him who is true. And become a part of him. Not of a creed or a dogma. How are they going to hear? We'll keep moving. How shall they preach except they be sent? As written, how beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. Really, that concerning how beautiful are the feet of them upon the mountain. Those in authority. Of whom the prophet with the word takes all precedence. And like poor Reagan's economy, which is supposed to trickle down to the little level of the little man, God's economy doesn't fail. For it starts with the word prophet. In the name of the Lord, trickling down. Is the oil over Aaron's head and all the hairs in his beard making them one over his garments till they flowed over the bells and the pomegranates. And the anointed body went into the Holy of Holies, communing with God. So you got the same beautiful word trickling down amongst the people, one in the Word, making up the prime body of Jesus Christ behind the veil of this hour in this world. Because Jesus Christ revealed in human flesh is the bride of every single age. I'm not over your head. Just keep thinking what I'm talking about. But have they not all obeyed the gospel as Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, their words into the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I'll provoke you to jealousy by them that are a people. No people, and by a foolish nation I'll anger you. Isaiah is very bold and said, I've found to them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them and asked not after me. And there is that said, all day long I stretched forth my hand disobedient against saying people. He's telling you right here that when Jesus appeared on earth, the originator, the embodiment of the gospel of Almighty God. See, that one who came down the true capstone himself, the one who became the thief and came down here. He said they had every opportunity and every proof, and they turned it down flat. We'll go into that by 1 o'clock in the morning. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. That's a good question. Nope. Try also an Israelite, the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Now that lets you know flat. There is no way the foreknown can be lost. How can anybody then have any idea of falling away? Now, don't think I'm being rough on you tonight. When I talk about legalism, let me tell you flat, there's hardly a friend of mine in this ministry that is in this word the way I am, but says that's the trouble right in his church. He can't get the people out of legalism. Which simply means, believe God. That's all. Don't look at yourself anymore. Know ye not what the scripture said of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my light. Now listen, Elijah came against the nation. He didn't say, oh God, I pray for this nation. Oh mighty God, I just want this nation to be right. He interceded against them. What kind of a curve was thrown when Brother Branham said, I don't pray for America anymore? She had her chance in 56 and she turned it down. And old Duplessis didn't like that. I know some of you folk don't like me mentioning names. Ha! Tell the election over the white throne and before that time even get used to it. And because Brother Branham dared to judge America the way he did, Duplessis called him. I should have the letter here. Read it. He wrote it. And he said, that hypocritical judge. And his letter had the tenor when God allowed William Branham to be killed, smeared across the road. That was the judgment of God because he judged others. What kind of a man is Elijah going to be? And they didn't know back in Israel, so John the Baptist was Elijah that hour. And Jesus said, what do you go up in the desert to see? Somebody in fine clothes kissing the kids and shaking the hands and making bowing down before people. Some little finicky jerk. No, he said nothing like that. John rose up in judgment. See? Now, he made intercession against them. What was the answer that God gave him? Now watch. Even though the condition looked that reprehensible, that far removed from any hope that the seed would ever come to maturity, I have reserved to myself 7,000. They have not bowed the knee. 7,000 secret believers to make the rapture. 700 secret believers to make the rapture. 500 secret believers. 8 secret believers. I care less. But the foundation of God stand assured in the seed of the Lord, knoweth them which are his. They never bowed. See, even so at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And remember, election is of grace. That's spiritual and physical. Now, you might not like yourself one little bit any more than I do when it comes to the physical, but I'm getting used to it. I don't care so much anymore. That was grace. Spiritual grace. Physical grace. You see, you're kind of mixed up with God, aren't you, tonight? Comes like a blast out of a red hot shotgun to let you know it was grace to make you with your funny noses. Take a look at mine. Yours are just as funny. Nobody here stupid little beady eyes, but there could be. Or fat pudgy hands like hams. And a voice that couldn't sing but cracked like a falsetto. We say, well, God didn't have a thing to do with that. I got news for you. He did. Grace. You could have been a serpent seed. What does it matter about the husk? It'll look beautiful up there because, you see, this isn't the right setting for you and me, my brother, sister. In the right setting, we'll look marvelous. Marvelous. All right. And if by grace, then it's no more works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be a work, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. Not then. Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. As a nation, no way. But the seed carried in the nation, yes, for all Israel's not Israel. And every son of Abraham is not a true seed of Abraham, because he was messed up by the time he got here on earth. For the last perfect man genetically was Noah. So he carried within his loins seed. Oh, far beyond the few billions this world's ever seen. The rest were blinded. According to it's written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that should not see, ears they should not hear unto this day. Now notice, unto this day, they're in a marked position where nothing but nothing will change them unless God changes them. Now that's election. Unless God does it, there's no way it'll fit into the plan of God. Because he sat back there for trillions of years just thinking. Didn't make one move until it was time to move. You've been moving ever since, but people don't know how God moves. I don't claim I do. I'm learning a little bit, but boy, for 67 years of age, I'm pretty dopey. But thank God for a little bit. David said, let their table be made a snare, a trap and a stumbling block, a recompense unto them. In other words, the word of the Lord which gave them that which typed the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That which definitely was their portion until Messiah. He said that's going to be a trap. It'll be a stumbling block. And it still is. You show me where Israel at this hour is doing right according to the word of God. There's no way they can do it. No way. Now, I say, have they stumbled? Let their eyes be darkened. They may not see and bow down their back always. I say, then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? In other words, he lets you know they're going to come back, and that fullness means that God won't lose one. Not one of the election. See? Now into Israel is born an Ahab. Will we put Ahab with the election with the David? No, wait. That God won't lose the David. I think maybe Esau was one also. That God wouldn't lose. A Solomon. But God had no trouble casting out the Ahabs. Now, for I speak unto you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. If any means I may provoke to emulation, they which are of my flesh and might save some of them. In other words, he's saying, would to God there are some, which there will be one or two, down the line, a few here, a few there, that will still come in. He wants them in. Right now, for if the casting of them away be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? Now, he tells you that when God takes Israel back, there's going to be a resurrection. The time of the resurrection. So we've learned a very strong historical thing here. If Israel shows any evidence of God taking them back, the resurrection's within that generation or generation and a half. Now I've got a historical point here. Did you hear what I said? A historical point. And I took you to the historical point that Brother Branham brought us in Ephesians 1. The spirit of wisdom. The hour it comes into the church. Paralleling Daniel. William Branham was a prophet of the stature of Daniel. And even greater, for Daniel did not have near the prophetic ministry in a sense of demonstration that William Branham had. You notice I carefully chose my words. Because I can't compare two men, one against the other. I'm talking of ministries that are exhibited. All right. For if the first root be holy, the lump is also holy. The root is holy and so are the branches. This seed. Coming on down. How in the world are you ever going to change it? I don't care how hybridized the flesh is. I don't care how messed up anything is. You'll never be able to do one thing to that seed as it comes down. The elect always will get back to God. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree grafted among them, with them partaketh the root and fatteth the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt then say, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For, if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Now we're still talking of the historicity of this hour of Ephesians 1, that spirit coming in the church. You follow what I said? All right. Now, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them whom which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, and if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Now it tells you right there. And I'm going to go into this on a whole message sometime. That this whole scripture runs in a parallel of blessing and cursing. The presence of God. That will bring in one will destroy the other one. The Word of God that enlightens, strengthens, delivers is the same word that blinds, weakens, and destroys if it falls on the tares. They may get along very good for a while, shouting and rejoicing. When it comes right down to the nubbet, which went to the life of it, they never take it, because there's nothing in there for it. Now, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, should be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in. Now, if God is able to do it, then he will do it. I know that sounds puzzling, but you figure it out for yourself. There's lots of things that God can do. You know, God's limited. People got an idea that God's not limited. There is nothing in this world that can be defined if it's not limited. God is limited. If you don't think he was limited, how come we saw God in the person of a man called Jesus the Christ? The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Sure. Not hard to see. And more beautiful to understand. Now, If you were the wild olive tree, if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, grafted in contrary to the nature, grafted contrary to nature into good olive tree. How much more shall these branches, which be the natural branches, be grafted in their own olive tree? Now, he's not drawing a perfect picture here. He's drawing a picture that is the best he can do to impress it. And he said, look, they were defined as a natural embodied race. Now, you were there too. But you were left to go wild out there. Now, he said, look, let's get this straight. He said, don't you realize if they were natural and you had the same thing in a wild condition, unknown and outside of a commonwealth, then look, don't you realize that God will do something again with that group that's called Israel? You see what he's telling me? All right, for I would not have bring you, brethren, ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceit. Now watch him name it down. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. When the last elected member has been grafted in, when the last one has been brought into Christ in trial train, then there is no doubt that God must swing back to Israel. And Israel will no longer be blind. And so all Israel shall be seen. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion to the river, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning, now watch, he says, if he's got a covenant. As concerning the gospel, their enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, get them out of the way. Put them over here. Give the Gentiles 2,000 years of preaching. But don't lose one of my elect coming down through seven church ages of the Israelites. Everybody screams and talks. Oh, they got to be born again. Oh, they got to be this and they got to be that. Whose blood do you think is taking care of them? That's right. That perfect sacrifice stands there. See the perfect plan of God. Now listen. Watch. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. Then are they enemies of God? No way. They're not enemies. The root does not lie in God and in them. The root lies in us. There had to be a turning away or we couldn't have our turn. So he calls it a blinding. Now he said God blinded their eyes. Now, concerning the gospel, their enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, their blood for the Father's sake. For the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Then somebody tries to tell you this belongs to a gift of the Holy Ghost, like tongues or something, or some people, man that can preach. Forget it. This is talking about God's gift of grace through election. And repentance. No way can God fail to follow through his original plan. If he did, he'd fail to be God. You say, why? Because that plan is a manifestation of God, the Logos. That which can be apprehended from within God, made visible. Communicable. And here it is. Now listen. For as ye in time past have not obeyed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. What was their disobedience? Well, let's just check it out. We'll go back here to the book of Luke and just take a little peek. I think might help us. And it says here in verse 17, he shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Disobedient. Not willful so much as ignorant. Now there they were. My. And John, the Elijah, stood there. Now we got the same thing. For you know, in time past, when John the Baptist came on the scene, did they believe him? Just a very few believed him. Even so now these also, now not obeying that through your mercy, they might also obtain mercy. Now notice here, it says we obtained mercy. Now they will obtain mercy, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all, both Jew and Gentile. So we see here a plan that has been worked out in the mind, in the wisdom and knowledge, and in the power of God. Now, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Now, what brought that out? God's perfect plan in dealing with the people to bring them into the place of the first resurrection, into the millennium, into the New Jerusalem, into the uttermost plan of Almighty God, where he would recover every single lost son of Adam, and there would not be one lost. Now, he's talking here then of that tremendous wisdom and knowledge of God. What is it? According then to Brother Branham, in Ephesians, that Spirit comes into the church in order to reconcile Israel as not the antithesis, but to reconcile Israel in conjunction with the Gentiles in order that they both be placed. See? That Spirit of wisdom has to come into the church to let the church know the hour in which it's living. And the hour in which it's living is this, that Spirit of wisdom manifesting itself says, look, all right, it's at the time of the resurrection. It's a time that Israel's no longer blinded. It's a time the fullness of the Gentiles. So now the Gentiles come in, it's over. Now it's time for Israel to come in, and that's over. And when you get that all over, there has got to be a millennium. See, that's what we're seeing here in the book of Ephesians. Now, I want to read with this the third chapter of Romans. The 9th and 10th verses. What then are we better than they? No one no wise reproved before. Both Jew and Gentile. They're all under sin. As it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. And so on. Now, we see here, and what we're looking at is what I tried to show you as I begin sort of rambling on these two chapters, but I was trying to bring you some truth. Watch what it says. What then, are we better than they? No! No, sir! Why, right today, the Roman Catholics are very strong against the Jews. They have no right to be, but they hate the Jews. The government of Italy has issued a statement saying that the Jews are behind the Red Brigade in Italy, giving them Russian-made weapons and things in order to cause the government to fall. And Bacon says hogwash. I wouldn't put it past it. But I don't know. Because I'm not going to be a Jew baiter. But Rome hates the Jew. But watch. The Romans, and the Protestants live under the delusion that they're righteous and Israel's not. Since there's none righteous. None righteous. Now, all are under sin. This brings us to what I've been talking about. Grace. I don't care how you cut it. Israel looked back and said, we're the nation. We've got Abraham. We've got Moses. This is what was done for us. That's what was done for us. Look at it. Look it up. Amen. We got it. God said, you ain't got it. The Gentiles were humble. They were happy to get the grace of God. But now they're going to say, you Jews ain't got it. We got it. I got new shit. Nobody's got it. God's got it. See? We're at that very hour of the grace of Almighty God. The gifts and callings based upon grace. God's foreknown plan is not just drawing to a conclusion. We've hit a juncture. As the prophet kept warning us and raising his voice to tell us, we've turned a corner. Any old buddy can take and build a brick wall, but you try to get him to turn the corner. To turn the corner. All right. So, here's what I'm looking at. Having read chapters 10 and 11, referring it to Ephesians. One, God blinds Israel so the Gentiles can come in. Two, God blinds the Gentiles so Israel can come back in. All right. Let's find out. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and need nothing, and knowest not the rich and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Behold, I stand outside of the church. They can't recognize him. They never knew him back there. They don't know him now. All right. This is that wisdom and knowledge we are looking at. Now, if you still wonder a little bit about it, which you might, let's go to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 21. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. For it's written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the spirit of this world? Hath not God made foolish wisdom this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Isn't that what he said over there in Romans? How beautiful the feet of them to bring the gospel of good time. How are they going to hear except somebody, a preacher be sent? Now it says right here that God's wisdom is the foolishness in the eyes of man of preaching. Right. What are they preaching? They're preaching Christ. Okay, the Jews require a sign. The Greeks look for wisdom. So what happened to the Jews? The Jews didn't look for the right sign. They wanted their own sign and they got thrown. But why do you think Brother Branham continued to fuss against education? Because we're the Greeks. And we think education will do it and won't do it. What Bible school did he go to? What college did he get his degree? Did he have an LLD, a PhD, and a DD? See? Now, we are looking at also the 25th verse. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, looking and understanding from the viewpoint of what the wisdom of God was, which was election, that came through the human race until it struck Abraham, a Hebrew. He was of the earth of the Chaldees. You can call me, he was a Hebrew. You can call him that if you want. Then God began forming of him one group. And the other portion of that seed, where God directed, I don't understand, I'm not innocent of tonight. But I know one thing, God had seed out there. And when it came time for God to bring that seed in, he brought it after the cross of Calvary. And he brought it through the process of preaching. You see what I'm trying to tell you? Give us a sign. Give us some wisdom. Shut up! And find some man that's heard from God and brought a gospel. You think they'll believe William Branham? No more than they believe Lee Vail. In fact, the reason I say they no more believe Brother Branham because he's been dead for years and I'm still here. Now they should have believed him because he brought both a sign and a gospel. Thoroughly vindicated. But they turned it down flat. Because the Pentecostals wanted their own sign and their own theology. Then God threw them a curve. He left the Roman Catholics kissing the Pope's toe and making him the vicar of Jesus Christ. Praying to saints and the whole bit. Let them talk in tongues. And they got miracle working priests right today. They can out pray Pentecostals. And the whole world's finished. You see, that spirit of wisdom, the very purposeful God, came down with his own purpose in this hour. to close off his own chapters of redemption that he wrote and provided for. And that Spirit came right down here and took all the Scripture and all the signs and said, there it is. What are you going to do about it? And you know something? They couldn't do anything other than what they were elected to. Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate. Pilate said, look, I got power to release you. And he said, you haven't got power to do anything. Unless God told you to, and God hasn't told you. He got really confused then. His wife said, don't have a thing to do with that man. I know he's with God. I've been troubled all day long. He said, get him out of here. Well, they said, you can't get him out of here because, you see, he made himself king, and we have no king but Caesar. We have no love but denomination. We have nobody but Wesley. We have nobody but Luther. Hogwash. He wouldn't want him. They wouldn't want him. You tell me a Lutheran's got Luther today? Listen, I know Lutheran doctrine. I'd like to find one Lutheran theologian that preached what Luther preached. Amen. I'd like to find a Methodist that really preached the way Wesley preached, although he wasn't much of a theologian. You got to admit that. But God used him, which was fine for that hour, because it took him away from the rabid, far-flung peripheral of antinomianism, which they needed to get rid of. Come back to the centrality of the cross and man's ability to come into it. Now, all right, this spirit of wisdom and knowledge of the grace of Almighty God, and you know what? People are going to poo-poo it. They're not going to like it. I remember years ago down in Florida. Well, it was a long, long time ago. Dr. Barton and his wife, I guess they're both dead by now. Wonderful friends, wonderful people. She's a lovely, lovely person. And I was showing her the grace of God in election. And she was startled and very distraught. She said, I think I'd have to turn from God if I believe that. She couldn't believe the word of God, that God would dare to stand there and tell the truth if it cut you 14 different ways. She couldn't believe it. Poor lovely woman. Well, she was told she may be belong to another generation, although God knows the truth of election has been known. Way, way, way back. Amen. Blessed is the man whom thou choose and cause approach unto thee. That's what the psalmist said. Man after God's own heart. Election always was. Amen. See? It had to be the prophet that even Christ was in the election. Where are you going to put him but way back in the infinite? So, couldn't understand it. People today don't understand, but it stands out amongst us. Now, let's look at the conditions back there, because we have to understand conditions today. What conditions are under, what conditions was Israel blinded? Now, let's look at them to understand exactly what we're dealing with and not make a mistake. John 14, 9 to 12. And Jesus said, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now remember I told you, that's simple. Christ, the man, the Logos, made flesh, the fullness of the attributes, bodily of Godhead. All right, I said, God said, let the earth bring forth the beast, four-footed beast, and the creature. Now, come on. You'd have to be plumb sick to think you're just belched them out. Any more than the earth brought Adam and Eve forth, though it did. Beast was there. Four-footed creature was there. Spirit, like Adam and Eve, were there. And he said, let the earth bring them forth. The earth then leaped and clothed them through the chemistry that God ordained by the Holy Ghost. Now, horse came forth. And you could say, I saw horse. Oh, you didn't see horse. Mm-mm. You never saw a horse. Nobody can see horse. No way. I can prove it. You got a horse out there, take a gun and kill him. Where'd the horse go? Did you see him go? No. You can't see me. If I were to die, Which you'd be very happy thought. And lie in a casket. You don't see me. I'm gone. But you see what came from there. Attributes. So when Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father, he wasn't lying. Because even though you don't see horse, you do see horse. So he said, you saw me? That's the Father. That's right. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He said, I came out of the Father. No, he said, the Father's in me. How'd you get in him? Then he became flesh. That's all. God indwelled him at the River Jordan. Believe me for the very work's sake. Verily I say unto you that believe with me, on me the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these because I go to my Father. That was Brother Branham, without a doubt. Whosoever shall, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do. The Father may glorify it. Ask in my name, I'll do it, or let me keep my commandments, and so on. All right, John 15, 24, 26. 24, 26. If I had not done the works among the Son of Man did, they had not sinned, but now they both seen him, he hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. John 8 and 24. I said therefore unto you that you should die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, now that word is interpolated as he, it's not that. If you don't believe that I am, the I am, made flesh, you'll die in your sins. Now, how, why was Israel blinded? Because all they saw was a man. John 8, 56 to 58. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said, how, you're not even 50 years old. How could you have seen Abraham? Truly, truly, I say before Abraham was, I am. What was that? That was Genesis 18, when God came down in human form and supped with Abraham and Sarah, and said, this is the hour before Sodom. This is the hour also that you get your change and bring forth the son. Now, what we are seeing here is that Israel turned down the manifestation of God and the revelation of God in the hour that he proved himself to them. Now, that's what happened. That's why they were blinded. See? That's why darkness settled in. They turned it down. Let's go to Acts 2. Oh, we don't have to read all this, but I'll only go so far tonight, and then that's gonna finish us off for the night, regardless of how much I leave undone till another time. Acts 2, 22 to 36. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, or proven to you by God. And he was amongst you. This proof wasn't somewhere down in Mexico or somewhere down there in Mesopotamia. It was right here in Jerusalem. Signs and wonders and miracles, God did. And you know it had to be God, because no man could do what he did. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken. Now, how did God get his counsel brought to pass? By man. All right? How's he going to get it done today? Through man. Now, see, nobody wants that. Nobody wants a prophet. Nobody wants someone interfering. Oh, but the Catholic Church will have a pope. And the Protestants have presidents. Sure. You watch how man sticks his nose in every time. That's always the wrong man. Whom God has raised up. You took him crucified with your hand, slew him. God raised him up, loosed the pains of death. Because death could not hold him. You know something? I'm going to talk about it later. But you remember that Trinitarian club that the prophet saw, the denomination husband had over the woman? He'd knock her down, but she kept getting up. Now, what if they'd have killed Jesus? He got up. Kill him. Get up. Kill him. Get up. No way could this man be holy. What if you let them just take his life? No way they could keep him down. No way. How are you going to keep the word down at this hour? How are you going to keep a bride from getting to that tree of life? How are you going to keep a bride from getting out of the ground? You tell me. And I'll tell you that you know something more than the Bible. And you didn't get it out of the Bible. Because it says he couldn't keep him down. Now we're his body. See? Now it looked like that body would never come up. So God sent a man. Elijah. So there could be a bride that they without us living could not be made perfect. In other words, they couldn't come back here without us. Something had to happen. We could bypass the resurrection. That's why I say I don't have any faith in the resurrection for me at all. I'm not like Pentecost that we've gone beyond the Bible. I haven't gone beyond the Bible. I'm with the Bible. Because he that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. I believe that. You say, what if it doesn't happen? Who cares what's going to happen to somebody just that hour? You've got to stay with the word of this hour. Not some word back there, some word up there. Now, David speaketh concerning myself, foresaw the Lord always, and so on. My heart rejoicing. You'll not leave my soul in hell. right on down the line here. It's beautiful scripture. God raised him up with witnesses to it, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promised Holy Ghost, he shed forth this you now seen here, for David was not the one that ascended, nor said of himself, but said concerning the Lord said to my Lord, sit down on my right hand. He's telling you here that David did not say this concerning himself. This is a prophecy that David made concerning Jesus. Until thy foes, I make thy foes thy footstool. Wherefore, that all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now watch. This scripture that was fulfilled back there is in vogue at present because the foes have not yet all been made his footstool. That scripture is still present with us. Know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And he is Lord. Now, in other words, the proof which I read here, Israel turned down the manifestation of God and the revelation of God in the hour he proved himself. You see? He proved himself in his flesh. He proved himself in the spirit of the resurrection. And that proof exists at this hour until the enemies are made the footstool. Now I ask you a question. When are the enemies started to be made the footstool? When that same one comes right down here to raise the dead. Now keep putting this with the historical aspect. What I said. Israel was blinded in the wisdom of God. Gentiles are being blinded in the wisdom of God. Under Israel's blindness, the Gentiles come in. And when the Gentiles are blinded, Israel comes in. What hour? Says that spirit comes into the church to let the church know the hour in which it's living, to bring it in and to reveal the deep, mysterious secrets of God, one of which is truly this fact. Israel was blinded, but under the fifth seal he loses none. In the election of the Gentiles, not one is lost under all seven seals. Of which there's only a true history of four, because five and six and seven are actually under the fourth seal, whether you want to understand it or not. It runs out under four. Five, six, and seven actually take place under four. See, there's no such thing as a true chronology in the scripture. No way you can find it. Now, Acts the 3rd chapter, verses 12 to 18. The man that was delivered at the gate beautiful. They tell exactly what happened there. And they try to show Israel, look, you didn't know that this was the Prince of Light. You didn't understand, but look, you saw it then. You're seeing it now. What more do you want? But Israel turned it down. They turned it down and they fought it. Now, let's go back to Matthew 11. Now, we're talking about the blinding. 11:27. All things are given unto me, and my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now listen. Understand this not in the light now of a revelation. Although that is true. But understand it in the light of this fact. They refused his revelation when there wasn't any other revelation which could have explained it. Explain to me about a virgin birth. Explain to me about raising the dead. Explain to me about stilling the storm. Explain to me about all these things that happened. His wisdom. Take all those things and put it together and explain it. Now, there would be no explanation outside of God. But instead of them even connecting him to God, they said, no, this man's got a devil. Get rid of him. Yet you show me tonight an explanation outside of God for William Branham. I get ahead here because I'm making Omega take the place of Alpha a little bit too quick. Matthew 13:14-15. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing they'll hear, and shall understand, seeing they'll see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they've closed, lest any time they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, should understand their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. Now, Brother Brown has spoken to that priest. I want to be a slave. I don't want to leave my master. I'm happy. Puts his ear to the door frame, and the guy jabs the all through it. A little bump appears there. He'll never hear again. Now, Israel was blinded so we can come in, they'll see again. Huh. Let's just take a look at Hebrews 6 and see what happens to Gentiles. You think they'll ever hear again? After all these tremendous things take place, it says here, having fallen away, they'll never be renewed to repentance. For they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh. When Israel crucified themselves, the Son of God, as a nation, they were obliterated. But the seed came on down. Now they're all going back, and once more they're a nation, and God will raise them and take them through as a nation. 144,000. See? Okay. Let's go Matthew 15:7-9. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws near me with their mouth, honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What was that heart? That heart was to believe. What was preached? Under vindication. They turned it down. You got the same thing here with the Gentiles. For since the time of the Apostle Paul, there never was a vindicated apostle and prophet. But now there has been one, because help has got to be made. Because Brother Brown said the same pillar of fire that brought the word is now here interpreting it. Manifesting the things that are right. John 12:37-41. Just reading these to show you. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And a man says there's three gods and stands up, preaches that nonsense, there's only one. Say your words will give you away. I've said that for years. You let a man talk long enough, he'll spill it. No way, you can't help yourself. There's no man living can help himself. I don't care who he is. Then certain scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we'd see a sign from thee. What's that? They've given you signs all along. He answered and said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Now, Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. Now let's get this flat. Brother Branham said, we'll ask him to come. We don't know if we come, we'll ask him to come. And he said, he's here. Now he said, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever and is risen from the dead, he will now do in the spirit what he did in the flesh, and he did it. The sign of the prophet Jonas was given to this generation. They turned it down. This is a wicked adulterous generation, the greatest adultery of all. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, condemn it. Because they repent, they're preaching of Jonah, and greater than Jonah's here. And Brother Branham used the Queen of the South to rise up in judgment. But there was a greater than even Solomon in this hour. Much greater. Because he knew the hearts of thousands that stood before him. And the world applauds Solomon for knowing a few things. But you tell me what was ever hid from Brother Branham. Now, I think you're beginning to see what we're looking at. Israel blinded. In spite of spectacular evidence. We are blinded also in spite of spectacular evidence. Men refusing to see. As Brother Branham said to the man in the basement, I don't believe there's any light out there. There's no sun out there. Well, come and see. He said, I'm not going out to see. I don't believe there's yet. Just shut the door. Leave me alone. You can't tell him anything. Why? Because they're dominated by a female spirit. Ain't no way can you get to them. This is the hour for Acts 3. Now remember, we're talking about blinding. You can't blind people just because they're a bit wayward. Jesus said, which of you convinces me of sin? Confute, find me wrong in one word. Catch me in one word. That's pretty fantastic, because a man doesn't sin in word, he's perfect. Brother Brown said, also for that same definition, he said, which of you can show me I haven't fulfilled one thing that devolved upon me to fulfill, proving who I was? So we're not looking at one little sign, one little facet. We're looking at what God did. The same thing in this hour when he sends Elijah, he's got to send him with something worthy to condemn the world or God boo-boo. Got to be something to blind your eyes. Acts the 3rd chapter, verse 19, middle part. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, guaranteed fantastic healing revival to shake the world. Even he shall send Jesus Christ, which is appointed unto you. But hold it, he can't come till the heavens must receive him, retain him until the restoration of all things formed by the mouth of all the holy prophets of the word began. Now, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, the prophets, the Lord your God raised up to you, your brethren like unto me. Him you'll hear in all things, whatever he shall say to you. Now watch. It'll come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Was that Jesus in the flesh? No way. No way, because they weren't all destroyed. Was it the life of that Jesus in the flesh? You bet it was. A different story right there. Because that Logos appears at the end of the age, and watch. It'll come to pass that every soul will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. In other words, there'll be people standing here that will not taste death. And the people standing here who will die. Destroyed, utter annihilation. Cosmos completely devastated. Now he tells you that this is what is going to happen. Based upon that which is visible of God to the eye. And Jesus said, if I had not done the works of a man, did they not sin, but now they both seen and hated both me and my Father. And he said to Philip, to Thomas, he said, oh, he said, look it, can't you understand that I am the attributes of God? And when you see attributes, you see God. And he knew he hadn't caught their attention. And he said, can't you understand by the works? He said, start believing the works. Do something about it. Until it gets a hold of you and begins spinning you back. I'm going to tell you something. If John the Baptist could come screaming, looking like a frightening spectacle of a wild man, a demented man, with a leather girdle, eating locusts and wild honey, and scream out in vengeance against the nation, and that held them in a grip. You tell me then, the ministry of God manifest in flesh did not have a greater grip? No. What it was, they would sooner hear a John who raised a question rather than to see someone demonstrate an answer. Because they thought they had the answers. And all they had was pedanticism or something, pedantic ideas of man. They had nothing to, which was true and properly right. Now, this is Matthew, what I read here, of the end time, the Omega. We're going back to that day of blindness again, when he was on earth, is Matthew 12:15-21. And I'm going to quit there. Because it's going to be a good place to bring you back. The best I can do. Maybe next Wednesday, who knows. 15-21. Alright. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him and healed them all. Charged them they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment of victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Now, I'm going to leave you at this point with this thought. So don't forget this when and if we come together again on this same subject. And that is, I read to you out of Acts, the 3rd chapter. And I pointed out to you that at the time that Jesus was on earth and died, all men who didn't believe were not destroyed. Because we have the same Jews, Israel, living right today who didn't believe in their progeny after all these generations, and they are not dead. They have not been destroyed. But there must come a time when that same race of prophets, the Logos, not in human flesh, but still that same one, must reveal himself in a tremendous manifestation that you would have to be spiritually dead to miss and not know it was God. You follow me? And at that time, utter destruction. And I'm going to take you to Matthew 12 the next time and show you how Matthew 12 is fulfilled in this hour. We'll take it back and forth so that you might understand this spirit that has come into the church is here to let you know this is that hour. It's over. The one who predicated election, when the elect shall never perish, not one word of God will fail. That spirit is here now, putting Israel in the homeland into light, blinding the Gentiles, closing off the church age. See? And at the same time revealing the deep, mysterious secrets of God, revealing the husband amongst us. See? You follow what I'm trying to get to you? I know it's difficult. I'm not here just to bandy scripture and think, oh, Baal can do anything to scripture. Look, when I sit in my study, and I know I want something, I am no more aware of these scriptures than you are. I don't know the Bible. I've read it. I can't tell you where verses are. I got a good concordance. I don't think the Lord minds at all. But something begins to happen, a scripture begins to slant in, and I know what I'm talking about. And this, what Brother Branham said, which I have read to you time and time again so that you can pretty well quote it in the essence, the same as I do, the Spirit of Wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church, to his own private revelation, not a man, not a group of people, and he brings the church in to the revelation, and to the finite of the revelation, or the revelation becoming flesh, which is finite. In other words, we're looking at the fact that something has got to materialize. Seeing it happen, revealing the day we're living in. Then he parallels it. There was a man named Daniel, a prophet. And an angel came to him. And he looked way down the corridor. And he said, seal the book up. I'll be back at the right time with another prophet. That's the hour in which you live, brothers. I know, look, people phone me and they try to get me off this message. Well, bless God. If I'm mental, which no doubt I have a little problem, I'm very happy. I wouldn't change it for $1 billion. I wouldn't change what I've got where my faith lies tonight for anything under high heaven. Look, I'm not lying to you people. See, you're still looking at a leaf veil that doesn't have any character to plug nickel. You're still looking at a leaf veil that doesn't have any fruit. The leaf veil that doesn't pray for sick like you used to. You're looking at me. Can I get your eyes off me for once? Really get your eyes onto the Word and sit here tonight and let God do something for you. If your seed, He will anyway. Let me tell you, none shall perish. Get away from this legal concept. I'm not saying you people don't believe in security. What I'm trying to get you to understand, look, it's out of your hands. It's out of your hands. You can no more stop it than you could bring it. I didn't know there would be a prophet Elijah come and do what he did. Now, I knew that there would be a prophet Elijah, but I didn't know that he would do what he did do. You say, how can you make conflicting statements? It's easy. I read it in the Bible, but I still didn't know it. I know about the pyramids. I've never seen them. And unless they're here when we go up in the rapture and I get against them, I don't think I will see them. Be honest with you. But they're there. Now look, we have had the beginning of the end under the seventh seal. It winds up. We are caught up tonight and will never get caught down. You following what I'm trying to say? It hasn't got to do with me and character and anything else. I can disappoint you and miss you a million, million times. But will you understand this, that Abraham was a prophet of God. Amen. And he talked with God and he ate with God. And God said, I'm going to make you a young man again and your wife, and you'll have a child. And God did it. And the trial came in. There wasn't much food. Well, he said, young men eat more than old men. Not always, but mostly. Young, strong men and young, strong girls going to have babies. They'll eat more. They got to eat for two now. Why, he said, there's nothing up here in Palestine. I'll go down to Egypt. They've got lots around the River Nile down there. He said, man, he said, they fat as hogs. I'll go on down there. God never told him to go down there. In fact, I believe God warned him not to go down. And he went down and he caused a real fine man a whole heap of rotten trouble. Because he didn't have the guts to say to this fellow, look, fellow, I'm a prophet of God, and I want to tell you something. I'm 100 years old, and she's 90. The guy says, ha, 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 they laughed as uproariously as the nuts laughed when the old guy was 100 with a long white beard and long hair, and his poor wife's going like this, we're going to have a baby. Ha, ha, you stupid jerk. Now he's a stupid jerk looking like a stupid old jerk. Now he's a stupid jerk looking like a nice young stupid jerk. He's got a problem. So he lies. Now he said, now honey, you tell him that I'm your brother. Half brother. Just a half of it. Yeah. So she lies. Why, he said, wonderful. I'll just marry you. And God came on the scene and said, you're dead. Now, I ask you a question. How much character did Abraham have? I've got just as much.
Amen.
I caught you, didn't I?
Amen.
Now there's no more legalists here in the house from now on. Amen. How much fruit did he have?
How close was he to God?
He walked, he talked, he ate, and then dipped it.
How obedient was he? Poof!
Horrible.
How much power did he have?
He was running scared. God said, that's my prophet. You're dead. You got his one. But he said, Lord, out of the integrity of my heart, he said that was his sister. God said, I don't care what he said. Truth is truth, and that's not the truth. I'm telling you the truth. That's his wife. Let her go, or you're dead, and everybody's with you. Firmly, similarly speaking, all the men are dead. That means women are gone, too. He said, furthermore, you have him praying. He said, what? I have him praying? You've got to be kidding. No fruit, no character, no obedience, troublemaker, and you want him to bring? I'm not telling anybody here, now go on out here and act like a bunch of heathen. Go out here and be a bunch of bums. I'm telling you something you've got to understand. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And this is that hour. It's not what the church or an individual in the church has done. It is that he is here doing it. And I am a part of that revelation. He is doing it now, and he's doing it to me. You say, but what if you die? What's the difference? What's the difference? If he doesn't make you make it, you ain't going to make it. Don't you see it's time to make him preeminent? Logos is here. Word is here. See? The life in the Word is here making a living Word. But well, how many can let go? You know something? Let me tell you something. And this will help you. He will make you let go. Yeah, he will make you let go. I know what I'm talking about. Here comes the day. I'm got it made. He's got it made for me. I see, when there's a revelation, what can anybody do to you? What can happen? You see, you are so deep into his mind, you are just as bad to the world as a person out of his mind. My wife often would tell me about the little girl that was in the hospital where she was, you know, for deprived children and not just underprivileged, but mentally deficient. And this little girl knew, as a Canadian girl would know, hopefully, that the Prince of Wales was her boyfriend. And she was going to marry him. Now, you couldn't tell her different. Her mind was gone. See, she was under delusion, a revelation. Now, we're just in the same boat, but in the... If we're in this part of the arena that we are in the same way in a different boat. The mind of Christ has become ours. And we are part of a revelation that we are that bride. You can't be taken from you. Look, if they spear you with hot spears and you were even recant in the flesh,